Welcome to Iteration, a weekly podcast about programming, development, and design. My name is JP, and today, as always, I am joined by John.
Hey, JP. I'm happy to be here. My name is John. I'm a software developer for a home services startup, and today, let's jump right into this topic.
We are talking
about soft spills. Soft spills. Soft skills today. Soft spills is spilling a milkshake, I would think. So soft skills today. So what the hell is a soft skill, JP? Help me here.
Okay, cool. That's great, because I Wikipedia'd the definition, and in the fashion of a 10th grade high school essay, Wikipedia defines soft skills as a combination of people skills, social skills, communication skills, characters or personality traits, attitudes, yada, yada, yada. Basically, it's people skills and emotional intelligence. And like, how do you interact with other people? Are you good with it? As opposed to hard skills, which are more like being able to debug CSS and
JavaScript
and JavaScript. No, but it's your technical skills.
Yeah. It's funny because I feel like developers I've met who make a lot of money and who are very influential, like people who's like, shit, man, that guy's successful. How do I get that way? I feel like a good 40%, 30% of the X factor is their ability to just really leverage soft skills really, really well. Obviously, they have to have the programming chops there to support it. But I feel like I've met a lot of incredible devs who don't have that soft skills and don't get to the same places in their career. And I think this is an under-talked about topic. A lot of us talk about, oh, get your JavaScript up, get your CSS skills up, work on the fundamentals, get your bubble sort and algorithms for interviews up. But honestly, soft skills, man, I feel like it's underrated. Do you think under or overrated soft skills, JP? What do you think?
I definitely think underrated. That being said, I think that there is a lot going on in the Twitter world where you can get kind of sucked in and it's like, oh man, too much, because I think that, you know, people who are Twitter influencers in the tech world, we all know who they are.
Yeah, sure.
I feel like they take it to another level, and which is like great for them, but I also think set maybe unrealistic expectations for what people think they should have for soft skills. I don't think you need to be there. But I definitely think
I'm with you there.
I definitely think underrated. Like, I think what I lack for in technical skills, I make up for in people skills. When it comes to like interviewing, I'm like, wow, I think they just like are, I think they're into me because of my personality, not because I'm my coding skills, because, you know, so let me tell you, there's like sometimes that I've like bombed, you know, what I would consider
the coding pieces.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I made it to the next round. Maybe they just really liked me. So I do definitely
think it
underrated.
Goes a long way. Yeah. Well, and speaking of kind of annoying Twitter people, the author of this book is a little bit controversial. So our conversation today is very loosely based on this book. It's called Soft Skills is the title of this book. So I feel like we have to mention it, but he's kind of famously maybe controversial, maybe a little bit of a dick, but it doesn't mean there aren't some solid takeaways in this book. And for a season, it was really much like the go-to in the software development community. But I think he's maybe in that group of people who are maybe a bit annoying on Twitter, of just like, yep, got my Tesla, I'm drinking my, I don't know. It's just the whole like bro grammar culture, I think, is a part of that thing there. Alpha male shit. But anyway, we linked a summary to his book, and I think credit is credit will do. He was one of the first people to really start this conversation, I think, in the software development community. So that said, do you want to kind of jump into the first section here?
Yeah, let's do it. So the book is divided into 7 sections, all which are very high level and kind of relate to how might one, like centered around this topic, around how might one improve their soft skills as an engineer. So that is like basically what the focus is. By the way, let me just sidebar here really quick. I think it's kind of funny that our podcast started out as like us reading chapter by chapter, very technical discussions. And now I'm going to be honest with you, I haven't read this book. And so now we're doing sort of like the summary of, like, I'm talking about the summary of a book that I didn't read. And I just think that that progression is kind of like funny to stop and think about. But anyways,
100%.
So yeah. So the first section in this book is about basically like your career and how it's, you know, it's sort of important to, make very deliberate steps to advance your career and how soft skills play a part in that? Like, what is the role that soft skills play in throughout the journey of your career? What's the biggest takeaway you think in this chapter?
I think the biggest takeaway is specialize, don't generalize, which we've talked about in the past, which is don't try to learn every single programming language and framework. Pick something and go deep on it. It doesn't mean you can't do other things. I even extend that into domain specialization. I've shared this in the past. When I specialized more around healthcare, my rates went up as a freelancer, and I was able to specialize in my industry in that season. I think that's a really big piece. So that was really one of the nuts from his chapter. But I had a couple thoughts here. I think my biggest one around career is this quote. I think it's from like Seneca or one of those Roman guys in a toga. It's luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And this has been very true in my career. You can't always plan for opportunities perfectly. You can't plan to get that interview at Facebook, but you can be ready for it. And I think that's a really big piece that's guided my career that's worked out well for me, which is always be investing in myself in hard skills, soft skills, always be networking and developing things. And then when opportunities have striked, I've been lucky that I've been ready for those things. So it's not that you just can sit around and wait for a great job to come along. And it's not that you can just go get always. Sometimes you can, but it's not that always you can just set your sights on and go get something. There's some amount of chance here in a career development and in your journey as a software developer. There's some amount of happenstance there, but I think you can do your best to be ready for it. So it's one of those old things of you can plant the seeds, you can till the soil, but you can't make it rain. So just do all you can from yourself to do what you can to advance your career by working on yourself. And I think that's a big piece. I think the other piece for me is meet lots of people, be very helpful and friendly. That's worked out over the year for myself, just networking, that last thing. And I think the last piece here that you mentioned, JP, is confidence and enthusiasm goes a long way. There's this old quote that being enthusiastic is worth 25 IQ points. And it's so true. If you have someone to the table, it's like if they are kind and friendly and excited about something, it's a lot easier to have just get buy-in for things, and it goes way better for interviews and lots of things like that. Do you have any last thoughts on career before we go to the next section?
No, but just on your last point, I think that, you know, having energy and, you know, being someone who's like pleasant to be around, I think can be infectious. And I think just that itself, you know, because we're talking about soft skills, like I think just being a pleasant person to be around, you know, really just adds to what you are as a total package, you know, when you're interviewing or when you're, you know, already, you know, months into your job, years into your job. I think, you know, that likability is important. Like the last thing you want is for people to be like, I don't want to work with that person, because then, you know, it gets harder and harder for you to advance in your career. I think like hard skills can only take you so far. You know, unless like you're in the 0.01% where you're just an absolute genius and no matter what, it doesn't matter what you do, but I mean,
a genuine 10X ninja hacker.
Yeah. But yes, let's move on to the next section, which is marketing yourself. They kind of all bleed into each other in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So from the book, the good quote that I think stood out here is the see yourself as more as offering a service and not as just an employee. So when you talk with companies and when you put yourself out in the world, you know, think less about salary, hours, or title, and think more about what you bring to the table and what you can offer the world. And don't think of yourself as just a cog in the machine, but really market yourself. I think the other piece is be vocal, like share what you can. Don't be afraid to look dumb and share your challenges, struggles. I think the other thing that I'll add here is like take speaking and presentation gigs if you can and reach out and ask for those opportunities, whether it's speaking at local meetups or those types of things. I got invited to be a speaker at a local General Assembly, one of the boot camps, and I got a great client out of it. And it was like this random gig. They're like, hey, can you MC this kind of technical conversation? And like I ended up getting a client out of it, and it was a great networking opportunity. And so I think be open to those types of opportunities and be willing to talk about yourself in terms of what you can offer and bring to the world.
Yeah, I think that this one is tough because I think it's easier to just be like market yourself, right? But I think that's hard for people who are genuinely introverted, that, you know, it drains, you know, drains people to have to like do these things and put themselves out there. And, you know, not everyone can form a presence about themselves online, and you know, not everyone and can like write a blog post. Like, I mean, anyone can write a blog post, right? And that takes, it doesn't matter if you're an introvert or extroverted, but like things like going to meetups and, you know, speaking in front of large groups of people, like that can be very tough. I think there has to be like other ways for people to be able to market themselves without really putting themselves out there. Because I think that's sort of like cop-out advice. It's almost like, oh yeah, you can be super healthy if you just eat all your veggies and exercise 5 times a week for one hour. Like, I mean, I think it's easier said than done. That being said, I do think that marketing yourself is really important, but I just think that there has to be like non-cliche advice around this, which I think might just really boil down to being able to speak about yourself really well. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be like, oh, I have over 2,000 Twitter followers and I have a blog post that has hundreds and hundreds of posts. But I think even just being able to answer the question really well of, hey, tell me about yourself. I think that is like really the core of like how you can practice marketing yourself, like really be able to answer that
100%.
Question.
I think to call out one thing specifically that you said that I could not agree with more, which is like this idea of follower count and what your online following is, and like building this online profile. Like, yeah, there's some value there, but I feel like there's this over bias of feeling like, oh, I have to get all the Twitter followers I can and post these specific hot tips and lists and research the best time to post on Twitter. It's like, that feels like just a distraction to me. And so I kind of think this section is poorly named from my perspective, because I think it's less about marketing yourself and more about having a good story and being sure to talk about yourself and like be there when asked. And yeah, it's interesting because I am more outgoing. I've always been that kind of a person. So this comes a bit more naturally for me. And I think it's important to call out that not everybody is that way. Like, not everybody's naturally outgoing in that way. And it's not better or worse. People are just different. And so, yeah, I think that it's a lot of it is a mindset. Like he talked about, I actually think this is a good piece of advice, which is just seeing yourself as offering a service and not as an employee. So have that story for yourself of what you do, what your specialization is, and be willing to talk about it. You know, ignore that imposter syndrome, be willing to talk about yourself. And so this whole section is a lot about confidence. But at the same time, it is putting yourself out there. And I think even introverts, there is way to do that that are effective. And it's not about follower count. It's more about having a good story for yourself. And yeah, that's how I would say that. So the next section is all about learning. And from the book, I think the main takeaway that I like was this quote, which is, learn you want, teach you must, which is a very bad Yoda joke. But basically he's saying, if you want to learn something, the best way to learn it is to teach it. That's so true in my life. If I've had to explain a concept to another dev on the team or someone else, that's really when it sticks. Or even, hell, talking about it on this podcast always helps me a lot. What are some ways that you found, you know, tips on coding?
Yeah.
Learning to code and learning in general?
Yeah, just like how do you learn things? I think for me, a big thing is like deliberate practice. So I just hammer something into my head until it finally sticks. Like just over and over and over and over, and just having like a lot of repetition of something. I remember when I was like first trying to learn how to do React, I literally sat down for like hours at a time building the same to-do app over and over and over again, which is really funny because looking back at what I was doing, it's like so easy. But back then, you know, learning something is like such a foreign concept, and like learning something that is such a foreign concept that really hurts your brain to even think about. It just, sometimes you don't get it. But for me, I think practicing deliberately and, you know, having it be almost like a muscle memory where you actually understand what's going on. So it started out for me as like just memorizing. So I would memorize how to write this like little to-do app. But it got to the point where that memorization finally stuck with that. And I was like, oh, I like know, it's not that I memorized it. It's just, I know exactly what to do now. But I think like having that deliberate practice really helped me learn React. And I think a big part of learning is especially when it relates to code, right? Because we're a coding podcast. I think writing a lot of code is usually like how you practice. But I think even more than that is like reading code. I think that, the more code you read, especially not your code, the more you're like exposed to what's out there, right? Like the amount of code out there is like almost infinite, right? But like the more code you read, the more of that the like a bigger chunk of the code in the world that you've read, if that makes sense. I don't know, it's corny. But yeah, I think that learning is a big part of your soft skills because it, I don't know, it's like weird, right? Because like it the whole point of soft skills is to basically make yourself as a package better. And so like by expanding your knowledge and by expanding your like what you know, you therefore increase everything, like you increase the value of yourself as a total package, right? Because like the more you learn, the more you're able to market yourself, the more confident you are. I don't know. I think all things of that sort.
Well, I think it's totally true because I think soft skills are a multiplier. You know, you bring to the table your hard skills and whatever soft skills you bring to the table, it multiplies your impact in soft skills. And that's not only how people perceive you. It's also your actual output. Like I, by myself learning and continue to learn, whether it's more soft skills or hard skills, I know that I am more effective as a developer and frankly, as a human being. I'm a better manager. I'm a better communicator just because I've been learning. I think this part is a little bit hard. It can be somewhat controversial because a job as a modern software developer is already very demanding. Like it's oftentimes 45, 50 hours a week. It's hard work. And then on top of that, you got to keep up with every single JavaScript framework out there. Like fuck that. And I sympathize. I see that. Like I get it. But at the same time, I don't think this is different of any career if you are going to be successful. Because the reality is if you don't want, if you're not interested in learning or don't have the time or just want to focus on other things, you can learn the basics, not really move forward and make money and have a fine job as a software developer and not be pushing yourself always to, you know, push it to the next limit and always learning the next thing. But if you really want to level up in your career in life, learning is the best way to do that. And the other thing I want to call out that you mentioned is this idea of consistency. I've found for myself and my learning style that 1 hour a day for 12 days is way better than a 12-hour day of learning. And so if you're out there trying to be better at learning, try to make it more of a consistent habit instead of slotting time on a Saturday once a month to try to dig into code. It's way better that every day when you start your workday, you spend 30 minutes on something, or every night before you go to bed, you spend 30 minutes on some side project or some code. That's what I've found for my learning style, but everybody's different. Cool. I think that it is so far in what we've talked about career, marketing yourself, learning. I think this is the most important section so far and the most compounding multiplier of a hard skill. If you can get some good, consistent learning in your life, you're going to be so much more, you're going to have such higher output. Speaking of higher output, let's dig into productivity.
Good segue.
So from soft skills, really his main whole thing was just focus. And he really pushes really hard on the Pomodoro technique, like turning everything off, taking that 30 minutes and knocking out 8 hours of code in 20 minutes. And yeah, I can find that useful sometimes. I think the Pomodoro is interesting. Basically, that's setting a timer, turning off all distractions and work for a set amount of time. Just dig into the project, even if you don't finish it in that set amount of time. He also mentions like Kanban management kind of workflow, moving through the cards, defining your workflow process. I love productivity. I'm such a productivity nerd. Like I've read all of these books, you know, whether it's, you know, Life Kanban or Getting Things Done, all these different books. And I am a huge advocate for just having a system. I'm not an advocate for any specific system, but it's like get a system for managing everything that's coming in and everything you have to do and prioritizing that work. There's tons of great productivity frameworks out there. But I think one of the best things you can learn, speaking of learning, is learning about a productivity framework, like how to think about work and adopt it and use it consistently, and you will see your output go up so much higher and you'll just be able to sleep at night knowing like, yep, I've captured everything that needs to be done. It's in my system. I know when I wake up in the morning what the first thing to work on is, and I'm clear on my priorities. And if someone asks me, I can show them exactly where I'm at in this project. And that is a huge multiplier for a hard skill, is having a good productivity muscle.
Yeah. So I think that there's like productivity on multiple levels. Like how might I be productive as an individual? And then also like how might I be productive within a team? Which I think is a very like subtle difference. And the only reason I am noticing a difference is because having freelance, you know, during my time off of being unemployed, I kind of just approached this project that I was working on just like heads on. I like had no sense of organization and no sense of like sprint deadlines or whatever. I just had a huge kind of high level overview of what I needed to do, loosely defined tickets, tasks that you wrote that I, you know, didn't turn into tickets or anything like that. And my productivity was, I would say, very less than optimized. It's less than optimized because, like, sure, was I hammering away at code? Yes. Was I ultimately productive in the time that I did not have any sense of organization? Probably not, because you end up spinning your wheels. You end up spending your time where you shouldn't be spending your time. So, like, productivity, I guess, in that sense, is not necessarily about output, like the amount of output, but like I think the output has to be good, right? Because like let's say you're working on a project and you're fleshing out, I don't know, a blog post, or like you're fleshing out a blog feature of this app, and you spend tons of time, this is just an example, doing like you know, having comments on the blog post and doing like live action cable, like WebSocket reloads on comments, but then like, and you spend tons and tons of time on that, but your core business logic is like not yet done or something like that, right? So it's like you spent way too much time on the wrong thing. I think is also like something to consider when you think about productivity as it relates to, you know, yourself as a developer, because I think that you need to be productive in the right things as well.
Yeah, I think that's huge, the right things. And that's something that I have written here, which is like this concept of 80-20, the Pareto principle. And that's something to Google, and it's pretty interesting, which is in a given system, 20% of the elements make up 80% of the output. And I try to look at that when I look at what the tasks are. So first of all, when you have a project, break it down. If you look at any productivity framework out there, it's all about just breaking down the work into like executable little chunks. So if you look at getting things done or all these other things, bullet journal, it's all about breaking down the project into the smallest chunks. And then once you have those chunks, make sure to work on the chunks that have the highest impact. So what 20% of these, what two of these 10 tasks really get us to the end goal of driving this business forward? Because it's not the little heart animation on the like, I guarantee you. And it's easy to spend a whole Saturday working on that heart animation on the like when there isn't this crazy abstract concept that needs to be created done. I think that's the other piece here, is this idea of eat that frog, which is do the number one thing you don't want to do, or is this highest challenge first, because it gets easier and easier over time. Especially in software, I found a lot of benefit here, which is digging right into the area that has the most ambiguity, because from there, it's all downhill and there's less gotchas toward the end. I can't tell you how many projects I've had like, oh, I don't really know how to do that part, so I'll leave it toward the end. I'll figure it out where the unknowns are, because I know how to do the blog, so I'm going to get all the blog. And then I have, you know, a completely revolutionary new piece of software that is only has a blog. It has none of the revolutionary software built. Because I've put off the revolutionary part because there's the unknown unknowns, or the unknown unknown unknowns. And that is the number one place to start when looking at those things. It's like, consider what has the highest output and consider what is the most abstract. Because once you get into it, you can start breaking that down even more and more and go through it. But yeah, man, I think this is another big section that is, people take it too far. People spend all this time on their productivity system and tweaking it and tuning it. It's like people take it too far. But I think just a little bit of effort in this area goes a long way for understanding a good workflow around work and how to break up work and track it for sure.
Right. Yeah. That's funny that you said eat that frog. I wasn't quite sure what that was, because there's also that like, how do you boil a frog? That like whole metaphor.
Oh
thing.
No, different thing. Yeah, yeah.
You know, these metaphors. poor frogs are just getting absolutely destroyed by boiled software metaphors.
I love it. So sections 5 and 6 in this book are financial and fitness. And honestly, I don't feel like they very much belonged in this book as whole sections, because he literally was talking about real estate investing in a soft skills book. It's like, come on, buddy. But I want to mention them really quickly that I think for me, financial stability has enabled me in my career to have the margin and benefit to be able to be more selective about work opportunities, especially when I was a freelancer, which was huge for me. So it was like, I want to work on this thing, even though it's not as high paying. And that has led to exponential return in my career long term. And so it's nice to be able to put yourself in a position. It's an incredible luxury to be in a position where you don't have to pick jobs just because the paycheck is higher, pick the highest paycheck. And so I think having some financial margin in your life can go a really, really long way. And I think the other piece of about fitness, physical fitness, like obviously if you're not sleeping good, if you're not eating decently, if you're just on your ass all day long and you don't get some sunshine and movement, you're just going to have lower output. And there's definitely, when you're speaking of productivity, I'd almost put the fitness piece within productivity. Because if you want to boost your productivity tomorrow, literally go on a 10-minute walk 2 times a day and your productivity will go up. I promise you, you'll get more out. It'll feel counterproductive. And I think the bigger one even is sleep. If you can move your sleep from 6 to 7 hours or take an afternoon nap, your output's going to be way, way higher. And these things feel counterintuitive, but they're not. We have to remember, like, we're not computers. We're these mushy things that like require care. You got to give the right inputs to get the outputs you want.
Yeah, I think a lot of, you know, financial stability and your wellness in general does definitely add to yourself as a package, right? Because if you're stressed out about your finances, or if you're, you know, if you're just like feeling total garbage, you know, you probably end up not having the same level of enthusiasm as you would if you were a little bit more happy in those areas. That being said, I do think it is kind of weird to have it in this book. I think there's like value in it, but I do think that people go too far with things like FIRE, which is like financial independence, retire early or whatever, things like that. And then people take fitness a little too far. I know, I used to be there. I just like got really, really into working out, but like it doesn't need to be a thing where you spend 2.5 hours of your day, you know, as part of like your fitness routine. Like, sure, if you're really into it, that's fine. But I think it's kind of weird to advise other people to do the same thing. I think fitness can just be like, am I eating healthy? And am I, you know, not totally living a sedentary lifestyle like, you know, people think programmers do. So I don't know. I think that's all really, I think that we should talk about those two things, because it is weird to talk about financial or like real estate investing as like a software engineer.
Yeah. I think to call them out like as pieces of productivity or as pieces of career is cool, but to have whole chapters on it, it's like, okay, let's move on. So the last section of the book was called Spirit, which I loved. Isn't that like a Disney movie with horses? I think it is. But basically it got very, I don't know what to call this. I think it's like Scientology that's all about like willing what you want in the universe and like thinking with a higher power and a higher vibration. It got kind of weird like that, but it's all about the power of positive thinking, which I totally buy from a very abstract and simple level, but I don't necessarily ascribe to the vibrations of the universe kind of jiving. If you just think enough, you'll have a brand new Corvette in the driveway. But the other pieces that he talked about in the book, which I think is great, is just about having mental space, unplugging, getting a day off, and getting some margin in your life. So this whole section is more about like mental health and self-care, which I think is a really important topic. And I think mental health specifically is good in this book as far as soft skills. Because I think I know a modern software developer is a really hard and demanding job, especially if you take it to heart. There's a lot that you have to, there's interpersonal conflict, there's managing a lot of different stakeholders. There's this idea that work can chase you everywhere and you can easily end up working a 50-hour work week and just never take a day off. And all that stuff can really add up and can really impact you as a developer in really negative ways. And so I think making sure to realize you're a whole person and you need space and time to focus on, for lack of a better word, the chapter title Spirit, but for lack of a better word, focus on that kind of spirit component of the human. Mental health, I think, is really, really important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that the thread between all of these, you know, topics and sections, like your career, being able to market yourself, what else was there, you know, being productive, like how you learn, I think the thread there is being in a good mental space, right? Because like, I think that's sort of where everything starts. Because if you're not in a good headspace, you know, how are you going to be, you know, this happy, enthusiastic, confident person when like you're kind of just like not really you know, in a good space mentally, right? So I think that taking deliberate steps to making sure that, you know, everything is, you know, all good up there. I don't know how else to say it. I'm trying to figure out like a good way to phrase it. But, you know, if you're not mentally stable, or if like, you know, you find yourself burning out, it's hard to do all of those other things, right? Just like you know, if you think about like a day where you were just like really grumpy and not pleasant to be around, we've all been there. And versus a day where you were, you know, really happy and it just felt like, you know, you had good sleep, right? You were eating healthy. You just feel better. It's like, which person would you rather be going into your work day and being around other people? Or like, which person would you rather be going into an interview, right? We talked about, luck is when we're like, present preparation meets opportunity or something. I forget the quote. It's like one of those quotes.
You got it. That was it.
it was cool. Yeah. Right. So like when, you know, preparation meets opportunity, it's like, which of those people do you want to be? Do you want to be your like grumpy self, or do you want to be like your genuinely like, in a good mood self?
For sure.
So yeah, I think those are good things to think about.
Cool. I think so. That was all the sections of the book, but I think the section I would add, the chapter that should have been here in my mind, is communication. And I think it's very high toward the top of my list towards learning and kind of self-care. I think learning to be a better writer and a communicator has served me really well in my career and working with other developers and clients. And there's a book on writing well is a great book. There's also this tool called Hemingway Editor that kind of gives you feedback as you write to make sure that you're writing run-on sentences. And the last thing is, I have learned to write in a way that is headline writing, meaning when you read a news article, it gives the most important things first, and then it builds on those concepts from there. So it'll say, a new chocolate shop has opened in downtown. And then it talks about the chocolate shop sells these types of chocolates. And so like it gives you the most important information first. So at any point you can stop reading and you have some of the information. There's never a point that you can't stop reading. And I think writing in that style, especially when dealing with clients or executives, it goes a long, long way to be able to do that really well. Instead of a bunch of preamble and then your actual point is buried somewhere in paragraph two, it's just like, fuck it, man. Learn to really communicate well is a huge multiplier on output for a software developer. And it's cool because it has this added benefit of, I have found myself when learning more about writing and being a better writer of English and just communicating, it actually has improved my code quality just because I'm thinking about the concepts in similar ways. How do I simplify this construct? How do I, you know, distill it down to its essence? That's a lot of what communication is. And it's a lot of what software development is. So I think focusing on communication is a really huge soft skill.
Yeah, especially I think it's something that you probably had to learn more over the years as being someone who's remote. Like communication is even way more important. And now, you know, that everyone in the world is like remote kind of in the tech world, communication is even more important. I think another part of communication, like the piece that you should also think about, is like how much you communicate, like not only how you express yourself, but you know, I think that there's a lot of pain points around lack of communication. I remember at my previous company, we would have, you know, postmortems when something went wrong, and we try to distill the problem using like the 5-why system, which is basically like you keep asking why until you get to the root problem. And sometimes, you know, not sometimes, most of the time, it boils down to a lack of communication. It's like, why did this happen? And it's like, oh, I guess there was like a misstep in the way that we expressed ourselves. Maybe we weren't communicating enough, or maybe we were withholding information that, you know, we didn't want to bring up because we thought we would get in trouble, things like that. I've found in my career that I have success around over communicating because it's much easier for people to be like, okay, you can stop giving me updates. Like I don't need to know them, which is a lot better than, you know, feeling like you're micromanaged because people are constantly asking you for things, right?
100%. Yeah, 100%. Preempt it by over-communicating. And actually, my answer when people was like, I don't need these updates, is sometimes just turn off your notifications. Like,
yeah.
It's fine. Like, it's still a good channel to be there. And there is that idea of kind of that passive outreach is a lot better than waiting for people to come to you with problems. And definitely biased toward over-communication, definitely. So just to recap really quickly the kind of sections of this, it's career, marketing yourself, learning, productivity, spirit. There was some sections on fitness and finances, and then my bonus section there is communication. And these are just some really essential skills to focus on that are more soft skills. So do you have any picks for us this week, JP? I've got one.
I don't know if this has probably been picked before, but I've been using Loom a lot lately. Just, you know,
it's such a good tool. It really is.
Especially for remote work or if you're like freelancing or consulting. So what Loom is it's basically a screen recording software that lets you basically record your screen and yourself at the same time. I particularly like that I'm also on the screen. It gives you that like element of like, I'm there with you. I'm walking you through this thing, which I love. And yep. I purchased the like subscription so I can, I don't know, have more Loom videos and like be able to draw on the screen and stuff. It's really cool. And I think that, you know, as we're talking about communication, Loom is a really good piece of software that helps you be able to express yourself and express your thoughts a lot easier than, you know, sending blocks of text on Slack when it's sometimes easier to just talk through a problem.
Couldn't agree more.
I love it.
I think I use Loom probably 10 times a day, and so often I'll send a 2-minute video with like 5 bullet points below it. So it's like, there's a video and here's the summary. So if you search for this in Slack, it'll come up again. Like that's right. Very much how I use it, and it works so well. Yeah, I think I plus one that pick for sure. That's one of my most used tools. My pick is super weird and feels counterintuitive, and I feel so funny, but naps. I have been napping now for about 5 days straight. So I don't know what it was. About a month ago, I started feeling really, really tired a lot. And I was overdoing coffee and I couldn't figure it out. And I was sleeping 8-9 hours a night. I was still feeling tired. Now I literally take a 20-minute nap like at 1 o'clock and I'm sleeping 6 hours a night and I've never felt better or more clear-headed. It's crazy. I'm drinking less coffee and I feel great. So it's like I'm sleeping less, but I feel better. It's been awesome. But I will update this experiment in another 2 weeks or so and see how it's going for me. But thus far, man, this is a game changer, man. This is a life hack. I'm digging it.
Yeah, I love that both of our picks kind of center around the topics we talked about today, right? Because, you know, napping is like, how do you increase your, you know, your wellness and your like spirit,
yeah, for
I guess.
Sure.
Like communication and being able to like, if you're able to express yourself through a Loom, you're probably the topic you're talking about, you're forced to like know it better and be able to speak about it too. So,
oh, for sure. Yeah. That's a good point there too. Yeah. It makes you gather your thoughts when you're looking at it that way. I totally agree with that. Well, thanks so much for listening. If you want to find out more about the show, you can visit iterationpodcast.com. There you can find the Twitter handles of JP and I. We'd love to hear from you guys. Thanks so much for listening and go build the future.
We'll see you next time.